And welcome again to a special edition of Anime Talk on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for stepping away from your shows and football to come join us today. I have two extremely special guests with me today, and hopefully you guys will enjoy listening to them as much as I will. But first, a little bit about who I am. I'm your host, Joe. I write for We Remember Love, and I obviously run this weekly show, usually on Tuesdays, but this week on a Sunday. And if you'd like to send a message in to our guests, you can use the social stream on the right-hand side of the video. You can send me a message on Twitter, or you can tag it Joe's Anime Talk, and we'll pick it up that way as well. But let's get to my first guest, who is a newcomer to the show. Scamp, go ahead.
I'm live! Live. I'm alive being live. Live. Yeah. Hi!
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Scamp.
Yes, I am the awesome, amazing, beautiful, brilliant, totally sexy, and has all the girls having for him, writer for thecartdriver.com, where you can get all the best anime stuff, except downloads. But they're all on the sidebar, so you don't actually need to go anywhere else, technically. Especially not Desu Ex Machina.
And then recently you were nominated for an Irish Blogger Award.
Oh yeah, I get nominated for that like every year, and it's always in a different category because, you know, there's not an anime blog category in Ireland for some reason. One of the blogs I'm up against is called A Blog About Crisps, which, by the way, for all the Americans out there, that means chips, like potato chips. You know, yeah, learn a little bit of Englishism there. But yes, I'm up against A Blog About Crisps, and its second most recent post was about National Potato Day. So, we're doomed, basically.
Sounds good. And then my returning guest today is Kivo. Go ahead.
Howdy, Joe. I'm Kivo. I'm sure you guys have heard me a few times on the show. And more than one of you may have been just utterly blown away by my genius opinions on anime. I'm up for an Anti-Blogger Award in my apartment. Okay, hello, Aeroblip. I'm up for a anti-blogger award for best anti-blogger in my apartment complex. I'm up against someone who has a Blogspot blog that hasn't been updated in 3 years. I looked it up because I asked them. And so hopefully I'll be able to take him down and win more anti-blogger awards than Scamp.
Sounds good. So for both of you guys, you are now, and Scamp's, I don't know if you've done this before, but you're both operators of team blogs. Scamp, you recently brought on at least two people. I don't know if you brought on a third. I apologize. And then Kivo, you've got Aeroblip and a couple others. So for you guys, what's it like running a team blog?
I've actually been part of a team blog before, but I wasn't running it. My early days at Bokutachi no Blog, which I joined just because they had a thing saying, join us, and I said, okay. Because I'm like that, you know, when a link says you are the 5,000th person to win, I have to click on it, you know. It was the early days of the internet, I was just getting used to it. But yeah, I used to be part of that team blog, and that was run by a guy who suddenly stopped updating out of nowhere, and another guy who never really updated at all. So I effectively ran that blog, but anyway. That was back in the good old days of WordPress.com.
And now you're running the Cart Driver. You went from being solo to adding, like I said, adding at least two new people.
Yeah. I think the reason I left originally was from Bakutachi, the blog, was, well, first of all, the other writers didn't write anything. And one day they brought in a new guy who you may know by the name of Spiral, he came in, wrote six posts in one day, which consisted of about 80 words each, and had terrible writing, and was a big guy on the internet, and I was like, okay, it was the kick up the bum I needed to go start my own blog. But I realized then that, like, if I'm going to be at my team blog, it's going to be people who I respect and actually want to read their writing, and, you know, rather than just haphazardly hiring people. So I wanted someone who's, like, experienced writing.
Gotcha. Now, Kivo, you're the lead at Desu.
Word.
So what's it like for you? What's the any challenges you come up against? Do you is it hard to motivate some people to write, or are the people working under you pretty steady about what they do?
Yeah, it's pretty good. My staff are pretty useful, actually. I've been a solo blog for most of my career. I think I started in 08 or something like that, or 09. And I think I transitioned to team blogging. I kind of, like, bought in Aeroblip at first, just because I wanted to try it out. He had some new ideas, and I felt that my blog wasn't staying fresh anymore. So, you know, he came in and did a really good job with Fabcast, and I really like that. And then I don't exactly have the pull to recruit people like Shimuru and Inushinde.
You don't, bitch.
Yeah, wow. through Anime Power Rankings, I know lots and lots of people. So I look for people who I think might be interested in also developing their writing. Vanikawa, he's in Saudi Arabia. He's really good. His recent post about Hyoka was pretty good. He kind of edits himself, so he's easy to edit too. The challenges with him is that he's in Saudi Arabia, and so I actually don't even know what time zone that is. So I just see if I can talk to him in the middle of the night, because I'm sure that somewhere on the other side of the planet. Amaresp is also pretty good. He writes with a lot of volume. And so far it's a pretty good experience. It's different from running a solo blog, definitely. Just because it feels like I have a lot of I do most of my writing, but it's a lot of kind of a lot more editing and a lot more like managing people too, which I don't mind. It's okay.
All right. Do you guys see yourselves expanding in the future, staying where you're at, or just writing it out and see where it goes? Kiva?
I'm not sure. Maybe bring on another person's, maybe, like, just someone who is just, like, you know, they can just write, and I don't have to do anything. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be opening up, like, a Deus Ex Machina chain store anytime soon. I'm not going to be expanding into the food business. No, it's just an anime blog. You know, I'll bring someone on if I feel like I need to.
What about you, Scamp?
At the moment, no. If I was going to bring on someone, it would be to do something totally different, like a podcast, basically. Like, you know, I'll steal Aeroblip away from Kevo. Because I'm sure, like, you know, he'd much prefer to do a podcast in the Cart Driver rather than Deus Ex Machina, because, like, it's pretty obvious, really.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Gotcha.
I'm glad we agree on something, Kevo. But first, the intelligence you've displayed in a long time.
So, guys, we're finishing up the... Well, sorry, go ahead.
I think I was going to insult Kevo again, so you can carry on.
So, guys, we're finishing up the fall season. We've already had our first round of finales between the last 2 weeks. We've got the summer season, excuse me. We've got the fall season coming up. Scamp, you've released your season preview. Kivo, I don't think you guys release one, do you?
I will do one this week. We kind of did the Fabcast for about season previews, but I'll do a formal one this week.
Okay. So in looking, you know, you guys are either done them or preparing to write yours. What show are you guys, or between the two of you, what show are you anticipating the most? Scamp, I think you...
Aikatsu.
What was that again?
Aikatsu, obviously.
That's your most anticipated this season?
I think that'll be the show that will surprise everyone.
Okay. Then what show do you think is going to be least likely to live up to its hype?
That's difficult because sometimes it's hard to tell what is hyped and where it's being hyped. So, like, you know, show that won't live up to the hype I've given it is a little bit different to what everyone else...
I mean, you've got stuff like...
What people are actually looking forward to this season.
You got the two production IG shows with the animation backwards time slot. And then you've got K, which is kind of on the hype list.
Yeah, I think K's worrying me because have they released the writers for that yet? I think that's been the thing. I heard a rumor it was going to be... What's-his-face? The dude who does... Ryoga Narita, but I'm pretty certain that's not true at all.
Hmm. Kiba, what about you? What show are you most anticipating for this season?
There's not a show that I'm just like, oh man, I can't wait for this show to start. I'm gonna flip out over this. Pretty excited for Psycho Pass, just because I think it's gonna be entertaining. I'll be blogging Little Busters and Hayate the Combat Butler, so I guess I'm anticipating those two shows. I kind of want to see which one does worse. Hopefully they'll both be as entertaining as they sound.
Hey, Kevin, you really like The Idolmaster. I'm right there. See, I think that's a show this season that you might like. I kind of forgot its name now. Oh, yeah! What is it? Aikatsu.
Yeah, what about Aikatsu?
Okay.
I just think it might be your thing.
Alright, so speaking of that, if you guys want to transition to that, let's listen to Kivo's thoughts on Aikatsu. I can't even say it right. You guys ready? Alright, let's play this. Oops, wrong one. That's the Idolmaster opening. That's probably not the right one, huh? Here we go.
Kivo, the Idolmaster opening is always okay to play.
Here we go. Kivo's comments on this particular subject.
Before we start wrapping things up, there's one loose end I need to tie up. The difference with Aikatsu is that it's not aimed at young boys. It's a card game about training up little girls to become the best idols ever. Basically, it's a card game version of Idolmaster. So, it will probably have the audience split between little girls and 20-something-year-old idol otakus. To add to that, it's being supervised by Seiji Musashima, director of Full Metal Alchemist, Ungo, Gundam 00, along with a bunch of other reasonably talented staff. Blah blah blah! But a disproportionate amount of other people I follow on Twitter love Precure and the recent Idolmaster anime. So, if you're a fan of those kinds of shows, I hazard a guess this might be a close in tone to them. Kibo and I love the Idolmaster. Lurks?
Yeah?
Also loves the Idolmaster.
Right.
According to Mr. Scamp, if you love the Idolmaster or Precure, you're going to like Aikatsu.
Scamp
that.
Doesn't know what he's talking about, okay? I'm calling him out. Time out. Listen to this, Scamp, okay? You don't know shit about Moe, okay? Like, I don't care. He's going to hear this. I want him to hear this, okay? Fucking frame it. Frame what I'm saying and send it to him.
This podcast Scamp, is now geotagged.
Scamp doesn't know shit about Moe, okay? He does not have Moe in his heart. Okay, he has not opened his heart to fucking glorious shows like The Idolmaster, glorious shows like Yuri Yuri, glorious shows like Heart Catch Precure. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't understand how cute girls work, okay? And if he thinks that Aikatsu, the fucking show by Sunrise, can even come close, okay, to being legit, to being, like, awesome as Precure, as awesome as Idolmaster, okay? Then that guy is off his motherfucking rocker. This is the same guy, by the way, who proclaimed that Guilty Crown will be the greatest show, like, of all time. Okay? The call out. Come at me. Seriously, come at me. I'm only across the Atlantic Ocean.
So, he did come at you, Scamp, today, live. So Scamp,
big live show.
Yes. So Scamp, your thoughts on Kivo's comments?
All right. So let's have a little step back and look at Idolmaster for a sec. All right,
God.
So, do you know? Okay. Why was Idolmaster popular? Why did it do a hell of a lot better than, say, Idolmaster Zero Glossier? Kevo, this question goes to you.
Okay. Idolmaster did a lot better than Idolmaster Zeta Galaxia because of two reasons. I'll entertain you. One, it was a more loyal and creative adaptation of a really popular franchise that Idolmaster Zeta Galaxia, from the adaptation point of view, did not even attempt. And two, because it was goddamn motherfucking entertaining as hell, had really great characterization, narration, exposition, and character development, and all that good stuff.
I believe you'll find out that is wrong, Kevo. The actual correct answer is because they hired a bunch of Bones and Gainax staff to make it, rather than it's a bunch of nobodies. That's 0 points to Kevo so far on this quiz. Right. Now. So they hired a bunch of Bones and Gainax staff to do a show that previously attempted to be animated didn't really work. So, now we have a take a look at Aikatsu. the whole big series producer in this being, what's his face, Seiji Mizushima, who's worked previously at, what are they, oh yes, Bones and Gainax. Huh, funny that, right? Now, let me just get up the Aikatsu staff page here, give me a sec. Okay, right, we've got here, people working on Aikatsu. First of all, Sunrise. Okay, actually, yeah, this is what Aeroglyph said in the podcast, which I don't think she was basically heard on that, was that there's a bunch of these kind of shows made every season, just kind of random children's shows involving, you know, pretty girls and stuff. That's true, there's one, kind of, not maybe every season, every year. Usually what happens, though, is they've got absolutely nobodies on them. Like, just a bunch of people who've never made anime before, so they usually suck. Difference is this, as I said, you've got Seiji Mizushima. Okay. Whoa.
Joe, there's a vacuum cleaner in the background.
Is there? I apologize. Hold on.
My computer fan came on. Things are getting warm. What was I getting? Go ahead.
Damn, you caught me off. I was in mid-rant.
Sorry.
When I hold down to push the talk button, I can't move my mouse to see the other staff. But anyway, that's not important. What's important is, staff on Aikatsu include person doing the editing. Also worked on, like, a bunch of bone shit, like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and so on.
I'm going to stop you right there, Scam. Who's the director of Aikatsu?
Oh, give me... Kevin, wait. You got to wait. I'm building up to it.
Oh, right. Okay. If you're building up to the director of Aikatsu, I really want to hear this.
Alright, then, person doing color design Aikatsu also worked on a bunch of bone shit, like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and Chico and a bunch of shit like and Soul Eater as well. Then we've got, what's his name, can't see the fucking name, Hiromi Kikuta was sound director on Aikatsu, was also sound director on, or what's that show called, oh yes, The Idolmaster. I think the sound being an Idolmaster, being an idol show, being kind of fucking important. Art director on Aikatsu, Yuji Onuki, also happened to be art director on, what's this little show called, Eden of the East, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, Guilty Crown, okay, bad show, good art, and another show called, oh yeah, The Idolmaster. Let me get some more here. Yeah, that was finally to top it off, so just going through here, we've got the director of Aikatsu. Also was like storyboarded on Gurren Lagann, House of Five Leaves, oh my god, it's Panty and Stocking, and what's this other show that he was the director on? Ungo. And, oh yeah, the Idol Master.
Now, okay.
Now,
okay.
I'm just saying. Now, it still might not be good. It said in the thing that I'd hazard to guess this might be for you guys. It seems like kind of a weird one, but, you know, all the staff are working on it. And, you know, sometimes staff are working on one thing. It doesn't necessarily work if they work on the next thing. But you know, when there's two shows, similar art styles, similar, the trailer just came out, similar art style, similar directing style, same staff. Now, I don't know about you, that tends to be a pretty good sign that the shows might be similar, particularly when they're the same fucking concept, they're about idols.
I do not believe, okay, that... Saying that they might be similar shows because they have a similar concept, okay, is just like saying that if you like TTGL, you'll like Gundam Double Z because they're about giant robots, okay?
Okay, they're the same staff working on them. Did you see the trailer?
I do not buy in to that argument. Because the director did two storyboards in an episode in The Idolmaster, okay? Kimura Ryuichi, this is his first role as director, okay? Second of all, outside of the staff, source material, bro, okay?
You source material for Idol Master is a game where you train idols. There's no story.
Awesome! Of course there's a story! There's all kinds of stories. There's 13... Actually, I don't know how the route system works in Idol Master.
It's just you training idols. It's not the story that there is in the Idol Master.
Have you seen the Idol Master?
I believe I saw one episode.
Okay. Well, I can assure you that there is a story in the Idol Master to the point where Aeroblade yells at me. The game and the show, yeah. Where Aeroblade yells at me if I, like, say too many details to people who haven't finished the show yet. No, see, like, the Idol Master...
I know the Idol Master show has its story. That was the point I was making.
The Idol Master game has a story, too. Yeah, like, as you progress later on in the games, like, the characters all have a backstory, and then you explore it and have them sing. It's kind of like, I'd hate to bring Idol Master to that level, but it's kind of like a visual novel, in a sense, in that dimension.
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was just kind of like a training schedule. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know either, to be honest. But then I saw some, like, Idol Master gameplay. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's where they get the story from for the show. It happens.
Did they really follow that in the anime, though? Because that seems like
it wouldn't
work at all.
Yeah, Chihaya's arc and Haruka's arc, like, they do some elements of each character, of, like, two of the main characters show. They kind of combine it and, like, mush it around a little bit to make it flow into a 24-episode kind of segment.
Well, I thought they changed the entire thing around. That was what I was hearing.
Well, yeah, but regardless of that, I mean, far be it for me to write off shows before they even air, but one does not simply claim that some random show from left field is going to be perhaps the second best show of the decade. That's just my affront with what you said about Aikatsu.
I'd hazard a guess this may be similar in tone.
I mean, I don't see that, because the Idol Master isn't good because it's cute girls doing cute things. The Idol Master is good because it depicts very finely and well the struggle of many girls, many strong characters and weak characters, develop into, like, that strong idol persona and strive towards their goals. And in that sense...
And you're saying Aikatsu won't be that?
Aikatsu's based off a fucking trading card game!
Idol Master is based off a game in which you train up idols. Gundam is based off the idea that we can sell these toys to kids. So?
I am not convinced that the story that they can fucking spin up for Aikatsu will come close to the story that they pulled out of their ass for the Idol Master.
Pirates of the Caribbean is based off a ride at a theme park. Source material doesn't matter in this case if you've got a bunch of talented staff who are making their own story.
Who's writing the story, do you know? Is it going to be serious composition or director?
I don't know. Let me check.
Because Kimura Ryuji's just experience in capping at cuties will be absolutely critical to his ability in Aikatsu.
I wrote the script on some Space Bros episodes. Also, Tokyo Magnitude. And Kakashi, which I know people like. Also, fucking Miracle Trains, maybe not. Gundam Age, Five Rain, which everyone loves, apparently.
Five Rain's the best.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it doesn't look like it has the budget that Idol Master had, because Idol Master had a fucking huge budget. But,
another thing. Half the reason Idol Master is good, I don't enjoy acknowledging this about one of my favorite shows, but let's be honest here, half the reason Idol Master is good is because they had Scamco Bandai, like, pouring money into the project. And I'm not convinced that whoever makes the Aikatsu card game, unless it's like Wizards of the Coast or some bullshit like that, has the purse strings to just literally allow A1 Steak Sauce to make frames out of gold.
Yeah. Did I make that point in the season preview, though? What do I say? I believe... we're not going to make Joe repeat the entire thing that we said. Let me open it up myself here, just to...
Yeah, I can find it as well if we wanted to read through, although you've got quicker access than I do.
No, because I keep having to lift my finger off the push to talk button every time I go to...
Oh. You can make that into a toggle if you want.
I hit the push to talk button, my browser advances forward because my that button on my mouse is also bound to forward on Chrome.
All right, let's find Scamp's preview here. I found Horizon in the middle of Ninja, but that's probably not what I'm looking for.
Right, yeah, I'm on it now.
Scamp, just as a side note, one of the biggest, brightest tags on your blog is Scamp likes anime aimed at Fujoshi.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm going to like Idolmaster or Aikatsu. I'm saying people who like Idolmaster, and I think there's a definite hint of the Precure to it, because it's got CGI dancing and shit like that.
Is there no value of franchising for you? Like, Precure isn't good because... Okay, yes, Precure is pretty good because it is also pretty good in its own right. But so much of it is also based on... It rides off a franchise. It rides off every other... Joe Animated has tons of feedback right now, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it rides on all the other shows that's come before it, you know? Like, Isaac Newton, the famous anime director, once said that he's great because he stood on the shoulders of giants, okay?
Like, that's what... The best Precure after Hardcatch is the original, so...
Okay, that's an okay opinion to have. but... I mean...
Your opinion is okay.
So, Scamp, what do you want from your preview, then? What did you want to reference to? Oh.
If you're a fan of those kinds of shows, the Precure and the recent Idolmaster, I'd hazard to guess this might be close in tone to them.
Yes.
Well, the thing... I don't know, like, I looked at Aikatsu, and you brought up some points about how it has, like, the same staff and everything, and while that is true, I don't agree with the axiom that a good staff automatically makes a good show, but, like, there's a ton of girl show, like, little girl show every season. Not everything can be appealing to everybody like this.
If there's not, yes, but the difference between the other little girl shows, like, oh... I need to go back to the charts and look, but there was this one about ice skating that was out recently that, like, even the people who like those kind of shit said it was terrible. So,
This is like Jewel Pad and things like that, too. Yeah, like...
They have nobody's working on them, though. That's kind of the point, whereas this has a whole bunch of the staff of Idolmaster, and it's a show about idols, so they're clearly trying to get that same crowd interested. That's how I interpret it, anyway.
You missed the main point that it's also based on an arcade card game, which is something that people like that would play.
Yeah. Isn't it? I thought it was just a collectible card game.
Well, okay, well, I also would be afraid if, like, little girls that are 9 or 10 years old are buying trading cards. That's, something's fucked up with Japan if that's also what's going on.
Really? I bought Pokemon cards when I was, like, 8, 10.
Well, yeah, me too, but it's just like, I don't know. Like, I just feel that we have gone past the age of little kids buying trading cards. Or maybe I'm just completely out of the loop.
I'm a grizzled old
man that doesn't understand kids anymore.
So for our guests watching today, if you have any questions for our two in-studio guests, please put them in the social stream there. I've seen some half-serious questions, but if you guys have any real questions, go ahead and post them there, and we'll get them when these two have settled down a bit.
My face when Scamp says Idolmaster more than me on a show.
Can we talk about a good show now?
Oh no! Fuck you, what?
Oh, man, I wish... What's his face? Your Aeroblip was on the show, so we could talk about how awesome Space Bros is.
Oh my god...
Which Space Bros continues in. We're coming up to the... It finishes up in the fall season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No,
I thought it's a year-round.
Yeah, I think it's a year... That's what it said. It's like 52-episode thing. That's what was coming around before the season began, because what happened was some TV station in like Thailand or something accidentally posted up a clip saying how long it was going to be, and then instantly took it down. But they said 52 episodes, and it looks like that's the case, so. Good thing, too, because it's the goddamn best show.
It does, despite its slow progress, it definitely is the a week-to-week enjoyable show.
Scamp, in your opinion, what's the best show this decade?
This decade starting from 2000, basically.
Yeah, 2010 inclusive. No, 2010 inclusive.
Madoka.
Okay. That's just...
boring opinion?
Yeah, it's very boring. You have, Scamp, I'm just saying, for someone who, like, defends his points so rigorously, you have very boring opinions.
Whatever, man. They're boring because they're right.
Oh.
Okay, best shows of the decade so far, in my humble opinion. Madoka, Queer and Evolve, and Our Girl Under the Bridge.
Okay. Now let's see. Best shows of the decade so far, my opinion. Yuri Yuri Season 2, Idolmaster, Madoka. Come at me. Like, what?
I can accept Idolmaster, because I recognize that, you know, fuck idols, but it's a really well-made show. Madoka, okay, we're actually in agreement.
You're probably in agreement for different reasons, but...
I don't know. From what I've heard Kevo say about Madoka, I think we kind of like it for fairly similar reasons. Oh, he probably faps all the doujins, but whatever.
No, I don't read doujins. I only read, like, hilariously ironic doujins, so...
Dude, I saw a doujin recently that it was like the woman was like, it was a key, you know, a key hole. She put the key in to open the door. That was a woman. And, like, you put the key and she's all like, ah! And, but then a robber comes and uses a lockpick.
That's
she's all like, I'm being violated. Help me. But then he replaces her. So it's basically an NTR doujin.
Oh, jeez. Anyways, moving on to your comment on Yuri Yuri.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact about my fetish.
I pretend I'm
classy, but really.
See, Scamp, like, you can't say anything about Yuri Yuri because you know I'm right, and that Yuri Yuri is the best show this decade.
I don't get the fervor that some people have over Yuri Yuri. I recognize all my thing, but it doesn't even seem well made. But you know, whatever. Like, at least I kind of get it with K-On, but K-On's better than Yuri Yuri.
Oh, no. Okay.
K-On better than Yuri Yuri. Come at
no,
me, bro.
No. Okay, I'm coming.
Geotagged from Ireland, right there.
Geotagged from Ireland. I have booked my flight. I'm leaving. I'm packing my bags and going through customs right now. Like, no. K-On wishes that it had the right to stand in the shadow of Yuri Yuri. Okay, now, I liked K-On, actually, but fuck, man, Yuri Yuri is, even at the meta level, hilarious, because it's actually one giant parody of how stupid Yuri shows are in general. Second, okay, Yuri Yuri has the jokes, it has the pacing, it has the exposition, it has the characters that just are so likable and makes the show so incredibly
exposition?
Enjoyable.
Exposition?
Yeah, Yuri Yuri has exposition, come at me! Yuri Yuri is deep, okay? I mean, like, think about it. If you really just break it down and think about it, okay? It's like a Kafka-esque analysis of how absurd life is, okay? And the vain search of love in the sea of Enwa, okay? That is society today. And it's all representative. Like, Akari disappears because, you know, she represents the psyche's fear of loneliness. And, you know, Chinatsu, like, love, like, their like, quote, relationships is a parody of how vain and, you know, mundane that actual human interaction could possibly be. It's very deep. It's very nihilistic.
I thought that Yuri Yuri was, oh look, that girl wants to have sex with that other girl, it's funny because I'm a terrible person.
And it's also funny in that way. It works on multiple levels.
You're such a shit.
You just don't, I here's the thing, Scaff, and everyone.
The good thing is, you
I
like her own more than me.
I tried to educate you guys, and you just don't listen.
I like the fact that you actually like K.O. more than me, but I haven't designed it anyway. But anyway.
didn't, like, the crowd want to ask some questions or something?
Have they been asking? Oh, shit, I better open that up.
They have been, okay, well, they've been throwing some
questions. I'm gonna pick a random question, because apparently Joe isn't going to pick one.
They've been throwing some random questions our way. Am I muted, or can you guys hear me? Sorry, I got to turn this back on. Sorry, I had my... I had to mute to stay out of the conversation. But yes, we've had some interesting questions in there. Do you guys... from one of your best friends, do you guys do self-dentistry?
I've done it. Self-dentistry means brushing your teeth.
So.
Thanks, Skip, I know that.
So Diz asks...
It took me a second to come on, so...
So Diz asks, why did you give up on Moishimon, Scamp?
I watched all of Moishimon. I mean, I probably shouldn't have, because that second season was not good. Like, be careful what you fucking wish for. But, like, I watched it all the way through. Man, fuck the second season of Moishimon.
I think that's what they're discussing, is the second season is probably where his question pertains.
So he said, why did I give up on it?
Yes.
I didn't give up on it. It gave up on itself by being crap.
Yeah.
I was all the way through. I wanted to believe in Moishimon, but no, it couldn't believe in itself.
It took all everything that was going for Moishimon, the franchise itself, and just threw it all out the window. And it's like, hey guys, let's go to France.
To be honest, the part where they went to France was like the only good bit.
Yeah, and then the final episode was just like, oh my gosh, I'm dropping the show on the final episode. Like, I don't know. I talked about this in other places, too. Like, yeah, the part in France at least is interesting because they're somewhere else, but my little pet peeve about anime depictions of them going to other countries, like Europe and stuff, like, they never make an honest effort to use the setting creatively. You know, I mean, you're a motherfucking France. That's, like, on the other side of the world. Like, but there's nothing French about that part of that arc of Moishimon. There's nothing British about, you know, the K-On! Movie. It doesn't attempt at all to even play into that character understanding of plot, which is probably too much to ask from a show like Moishimon, which couldn't, season two, which probably couldn't even tie its shoe at the rate that I see the clumsiness of the direction. But, yeah, like, that was what pissed me off about the France arc for me.
All right, let's see.
I zoned out halfway there because I was trying to write a comment in the chat.
All right, so looking through the chat here again. So just as a random question then, best show not including anything Moe related from the summer season?
Well, but all anime is Moe nowadays, didn't you hear?
True. Well, you could classify Jinrui as not being Moe.
Well, I suppose it's not.
Okay, now let's rephrase this then. The show that most surprised you from the summer season that you didn't expect.
Uzukoi? Isn't that like the only person who watches that? Few people watch Uzukoi. But
I was surprised by how mediocre it was. That's my,
I was expecting to find it boring, and it was a hell of a lot more self-aware and... Dude, episode 7, it was the most amazing thing. They played it. Are you watching it the whole way through?
I kind of dropped it after 3 episodes, sorry.
You should watch episodes. To be honest, actually, the second half of the show hasn't been great. When they changed arcs, they changed timelines, so they kind of, just as we got to know the characters, they then changed arcs, so that was kind of like...
See, I hate it when the shows do that. Do they not want the show to be good? Like, is that the problem?
I mean, the issue with the thing is that these poets come from different eras, so they kind of have to switch eras. The new characters just weren't interesting, and they didn't have that same trio of enjoyable characters together. And, like, goddamn, the show couldn't come back after they had a Formula One race with ox-drawn carts. The show kind of just... Like, after that, it was like, well, shit, we can't go. Everything's downhill from here.
Okay, so what's the question? What's my favorite show from summer that's not Moe?
How about your most... The show that surprised you the most from this summer?
Oh, the show that surprised me the most from this summer. Okay, well, I'm going to answer Yuri Yuri, but like that's because I only started watching it this summer and it's my direction number. So I will have to say outside of that, I kind of expected Jinrei to be good. So, oh my god, Joshiraku, I didn't expect it to actually pull it off, but it's actually kind of entertaining. But besides that, yeah, like nothing else really popped up. Like, wow, this show's actually good.
Huizumoto surprised me.
Huizumoto
in what way?
Everyone.
That it was good, or that it was just surprising?
It's been a long time since I've actually decided to sit through a show that bad before. Like, that's bad the whole way through. It's been a I do Terry bad all the time, but not a recent TV show, and especially one of this variety. It's really bad. It's amazing. I need to write this week's episode. Oh my god, who is it? Who is Imoto Kebo?
I don't know. I don't know. I think we are all Imoto. Yeah, deep down inside. I'm pretty sure that Huizumoto is also, like, this allegory to Ayn Rand and Plato's The Republic. So, you know, I'm sure that if you just look really hard, it's the symbolism is obvious.
And the Plato bit is definitely obvious, but,
Well, no,
I don't know. I think Ayn Rand is pushing it.
Ayn Rand is Imoto. That's how it actually works. And, like, you see how the main character, I forgot his name, but how he's rich and he owns a company. So he represents, like, the rich people in Atlas Shrugged. And all the girls, like, they actually are, they come from a mix and a combination of backgrounds, and that represents the public. And, you know, it's a struggle to see which... I actually can't even bullshit that. Never mind.
I was thinking it was more along the lines of Catcher in the Rye. You know, he's running through the Rye, trying to catch all the
Imotos. Yeah, Phoebe, his Imoto. Yeah, that's deep too. Yeah.
All right, guys. So one last question, then we'll close it up. It's actually a serious question here. Does a willingness to work with overseas markets a good sign for the anime industry in Japan, or a bad sign?
Judging by the Marvel X Madhouse anime, bad.
From outside of that, of specific examples, I struggle to see a market expanding internationally as a bad sign. I don't think it's a sign of desperation. I just think it's, you know, they want to expand to a bigger market. It's not like they're going to neglect the Japanese market. That is silly. I believe the international market for anime, this is a two-year-old statistic, but I believe it's around 20%. A little bit of, not a significant portion of that is just Asia, not the United States. So if that question is referring to, like, licensing with Crunchyroll and more aggressive digital distribution methods, it only is a step forward for anime and not a setback.
Wait, why are we being serious on this chat?
I'm sorry.
It's one of
because,
the,
you see,
we're into our final,
like,
our final
selling
question
box
from
DVD
our guest.
Sets in Best Buy doesn't work, and it will never work. Just because the anime fandom is thinly spread out across the United States and England, the English-speaking countries, and when you're competing for brick-and-mortar shelf space, a thinly spread out population is equal to no population at all. Because if only, like, 10 anime fans live in the area that this Best Buy serves, they would rather sell, like, a CD or an album that has, like, 500 fans, and that'll happen all throughout the United States. If there's, like, if all the anime fans in the United States all were, like, in one cluster in the United States, like, that would be, like, that one cluster would be, like, a mini Japan. Just because, you know, a Best Buy or any other album DVD shop would see that it is profitable to stop anime stuff. Digital distribution kind of alleviates that problem because there's no such thing as a shelf space per se on the internet. So a thinly spread out crowd of niche stuff, and there's a lot of niche stuff out there if you add it all up, can all be serviced because it's almost like an unlimited shelf. And location is not a barrier to getting what you want. It's called The Long Tail by Chris Anderson. Read up on it, bros.
But on the other hand, there's apparently a big anime fandom in San Marino, because out of one of the very few places where they're showing the Madoka movies and an international release, they've got like two in America, like two across Asia, and then there's like one in Spain, And then one in San Marino.
Well, San Marino is a very crowded city-state, so if it's just an entire city-state full of weeaboo otaku, I'm okay with that. It's like a mini Japan.
All right,
yeah,
guys.
So the big San Marino anime fan community.
All right, guys. So any final thoughts before we finish up for the day? Kiva, why don't you start? Get your final thought in.
Okay, cool. Sorry for going into the finer details of digital distribution. I hope everyone found the show entertaining. Please visit my blog and Arrow Blip, you're going down in fantasy football.
Scamp, what about you?
Just singing loose, singing last, set it loose, set we la.
Okay. So, thank you all for watching today. You can find this show and others at my blog at joeanimated.wordpress.com. There's a podcast feed there you can link to. I think it's also available on iTunes if you search through it in there. Also, these videos are posted on YouTube at the same name. And if you are interested in joining me sometime like these two fine gentlemen have, you can send me an email and we will get you set up. Or you can send me a message on Twitter. It's just as easy. Again, thank you, Kivo. Thank you, Scamp, for coming on.
No problem.
See you later, guys. Thanks for listening. and to answer this question, yes, more people should watch Joshua Rocker.
All right. Have a good
probably answer all these questions as well. Oh, too late now.
Oh, well.
Yes, no, and only with cheese.
All right. Have a good afternoon, everybody. Or good evening.
Ciao.